The message today is called The Posture of an Apprentice, okay? The Posture of an Apprentice. And I'm going to go off a quick verse just to start here. There'll be other verses as we go, but from the Bible, from the book of Luke, chapter 6, it says this, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Okay, so especially look at that end part of that. Everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. So today I have a story, and it's a fictional story, and it goes like this. There once was a young man, okay? And he wanted to sign up for a karate class at his local gym, so he did that. And when I usually tell these kind of like silly stories, I typically, in our youth group or wherever I'm teaching, I like to use the name Greg for some reason. I don't know why. So we're going to name this guy Greg today, okay? So Greg, this guy wasn't looking to get in shape or even learn self-defense. He just thought the head instructor looked cool. He watched some karate movies and wanted to wear the uniform. So he got the outfit, tied the belt around his waist, and of course he didn't really know how to tie it up, so he tied it like on the side, like in a giant knot, okay? And started telling people, yeah, I do karate. And so, now Greg never actually practiced karate. He skipped most of the classes, and he did watch a lot of YouTube videos, and he memorized a few impressive-sounding fighting words, like, we'll go with hi-ya. Hi-ya! And he even practiced a few moves in the mirror, mainly ones that looked dramatic and didn't involve any actual contact or any effort. And so, one day, the instructor finally caught up with him and said, hey, Greg, I haven't seen you in class in weeks. What's going on? And Greg puffed out his chest and said, oh, don't worry. I know all the moves. I got it covered. I'm basically a black belt in theory. Okay? And the instructor raised an eyebrow, and he said, you're a black belt in theory? And Greg said proudly, yes, I'm a black belt in theory. Ask me anything, I know all the right answers. So the instructor didn't ask him a theoretical question, but instead said bluntly, okay, show me a front kick. And so Greg nodded confidently. He took a deep breath, and with all the grace of a startled flamingo, he launched his leg straight up in the air, promptly lost his balance, spun around like a malfunctioning ceiling fan, and we'll say he knocked over a stack of yoga mats in the corner and knocked over a woman doing exercises in the corner, okay? After a long, awkward silence, the instructor said, Greg, you may say you're a black belt in theory, but you're not actually following through on any of the proper teaching. You've learned the theory, you've looked the part somewhat, you've practiced the lingo, but you haven't learned nor applied it in a way that makes the desired impact of a true black belt. So we're going to go back to basics a little bit today with this. The question I'm going to answer first is, what is a Christian? Okay, we go to Covenant Christian Community Church, okay? Like, how do we define Christian? What comes to mind when we think of that word? Of course, we're at church today, so maybe many of us have a positive side view of that, but, I mean, many have a negative, an ugly, ugly things come to mind when they hear that word Christian. Some of it's driven by media, some is by our upbringing, some is driven by what we've heard, some is driven by years of experience in the church, or even this church, right? So let's define Christian today. Christ in Greek comes from the word Christos. Can you guys say Christos? Okay, you're with me. That means anointed one, right? That means anointed one, right? So it's not Jesus' last name when we hear Christ. It means anointed one. In Hebrew, another word that could be kind of tied to that is Messiah, right? The Greek word for Christian then is Christianos, okay? Can you say, I'm totally pronouncing these wrong, but I'm going to make you do it anyways. So say Christianos, which means, get this, follower, okay? Follower of Christ. So sit with me with that. It's follower of the anointed one. And it's a biblical term. It comes from the Bible, but only three times in the Bible does it say the word Christian, okay? Once was Paul. Actually, the first time is Acts 11, when Paul, just after his conversion, For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul, it says, met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch, okay? So that's one. The other two is, there's another time in the book of Acts where Paul was arrested, and he's in front of this guy on trial named King Agrippa, okay? And Agrippa says to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian, okay? And when he's saying that, he's like, do you really think you can make me a Christian, right? It's kind of derogatory, right? It's there's kind of a stigma percolating under the surface with this word Christian, okay? And then we have one other time, which is in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4, and it says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So it kind of has this idea that there's a negative connotation in the world with that word, but in God's eyes, it's seen in a positive light. But there's other terms that are somewhat synonymous with Christian. Some of those are words like, we can go with disciple, followers or belonging to the way. For all those people who've been in maybe the BIC, so our church denomination is called the BIC, Be in Christ. Before it was called Be in Christ, what was that B standing for? Brethren, right? So brethren is one that you see in the Bible a lot. And for people who maybe grew up more in or around the Catholic circles, that S word that they often call people, what is it? Does anyone know? Saints, right? Saints. So those are the kind of the words that we hear, kind of, you know, Christians, we hear disciples, followers, or belonging to the way, brethren, saints, stuff like that. John, Pastor John here, he sent out a weekly email called Covenant Weekly. And a couple weeks ago, I noticed a quote in there, and I haven't read this book, but he quoted in it, and I'm going to read this. It says, in the book Compelling Convictions by Perry Engel, he suggests that following Jesus is at the very heart of our BIC core values, the sum of our identity and the core of our calling. Okay? So following Jesus is at the very heart of our BIC core values. But what does following even mean? Because we've said followers of Christ, what does this whole following even mean? So let's kind of look back at this idea of follower. A follower is not just someone who follows someone around like their shadow, okay? It's not like me having to follow Leticia home after church today so I don't get distracted by a squirrel and make it home, right? Following, like literally following someone, is part of it, right? But it's not the whole picture, right? It's not someone who just believes that Jesus existed by being a Christ follower, right? It's not someone that just believes Jesus exists, or that he's the Son of God, or that he died for our sins and rose again. It's not just believing, even though believing is important, right? Most quoted Bible verse, right? John 3:16, whoever believes, right? Because I know I can believe in grizzly bears, right? But I'm not following their ways. Hopefully not. Another one is, a follower is not just someone who's accepted Jesus into their hearts, okay, with that special prayer. I grew up with that, maybe many of you have, where it's like, you just say that special prayer, and it's like, you know, the get out of hell free card kind of thing, or whatever people want to call it, right? Some people say that prayer, and then they don't actually follow Jesus, right? They just got to say that prayer, and they're like, okay, I'm just sorry for his sins, come to my heart, and that's it. I'm just going to kind of like ignore the rest now, right? To do this right is to, and that's the word I started out the beginning with, is to apprentice, okay? Dallas Willard, he's a theologian, he says this in his book, The Great Omission. A disciple is a learner, a student, an apprentice. And I like this word too. He says, a practitioner. Disciples of Jesus are people who do not just profess certain views as their own, but apply their growing understanding of life in the kingdom of heavens to every aspect of their life on earth. So to put this another way, the Christian life is not about just information, okay? It's about transformation. Becoming like him by being with him and allowing him to work in and through you, right? So, like, for example, let's think of some careers that require an apprenticeship. Like, what are some typical careers that require you to go take an apprenticeship? Give me a couple. Sorry?
Lawyer.
Lawyer? I guess they do follow, yeah. Okay. Electrician. Sorry? Electrician. Electrician, yeah.
Carpenter.
Carpenter. What was the other one I heard?
Welder.
Welder, yeah. Doctor. These are great. Right? So how would you feel? Think about these, okay? Picture the doctor or the electrician or the plumber or whatever. How would you feel about hiring any one of these people to do the job if they knew the answers but have never actually had any work experience? Not a doctor. Oh, man. Like, can you imagine if they were like Greg the Karate Guy coming over to do your electrical work? Okay? Or if their apprenticeship, instead of doing the actual apprenticeship, they just went to like a university, like a classroom, and they only knew all the theoretical stuff, right? But they didn't actually practice it. So here's my question today. If we profess ourselves as Christians, which means followers of Jesus, if we call ourselves that, how is our apprenticeship going with Jesus today? How's it going with Jesus today? Is it only theoretical? Is it transformative? Are we a bunch of, say, I'll give you another one, mechanics, who know lots about cars but have never touched or worked on one? Are we an electrician who even did the hours of apprenticeship but never paid attention or didn't put to practice what was taught? Are we the karate students who like how it looks but don't put the effort of application? Are we a bunch of people sitting around and talking about what's good without acting on it? Are we a bunch of Christians who know all the Bible answers but have not applied it to our life? James 1, verse 22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. There's a lot to unpack there, but doing what God's word says does mean doing what he says beyond, say, traditions or religion or preferences or denominations or rules, right? It's doing what is close to God's heart. Looking at the life of Jesus, reading the Gospels, seeing it through his eyes, and thinking of, like, I used to wear these all the time in youth group when I was a kid, the WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? Thinking, what would Jesus do, right? So I'm talking about the core Jesus-centered, important character-defining lifestyle, living ways that Jesus lived consistently. For example, I'll just give you a few, right? That means to love God, like he says, to love God and to love others, right? In the book of Matthew. And Jesus' life, he didn't just say this. He didn't just teach these things. He showed it, right? Jesus' life exemplified this in his obedience, even to a cross, taking time with people, being honest, gracious with people, loving his neighbors who were sick physically and mentally, ones who made bad choices, oppressed him and others, the needy, the poor, the socially awkward, the people who were different races, and etc. We can talk about how Jesus loved his enemies, right? He's hanging on a cross at one point, saying to forgive the people who literally nailed him to the cross, right? We could look at, you know, in Colossians, it talks about bearing with each other and forgive one another if we have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And I think of how Jesus, like, he, when he's on the cross, like, Peter is, like, literally denying him, right? Saying, like, one of his closest friends is just like, I don't even know him, right? And Jesus comes back after he rises from the dead, and he goes and doesn't tell Peter off, but eats breakfast with him and forgives him, right? Reinstates him. Maybe it's standing up for those in need, right? Against injustice in our world from a posture of grace, you know? Look at Jesus who saw the woman caught in adultery and, you know, didn't cast a stone. Or when Jesus even cleared the temple and flipped a bunch of tables, which is kind of a wild story, but, you know, there's some injustice happening even within the walls of the temple at the time. You know, treating people, like, having that compassion, you know, how Jesus even showed that with the man with leprosy. He said Jesus had compassion, was moved with compassion, and reached out and said, I am willing, and touched the man and healed him. We could go on, you know, serving each other through love, as it says in Galatians. There's Jesus literally washing his disciples' feet. I know these things in theory, and I think we know these things in theory. But are we apprenticing under Jesus and having these things flow out of our lives? Not just knowing that Jesus did them, but are you doing this stuff too? Jesus' life isn't just an ideal to simply appreciate, it's a lifestyle to replicate. I'm going to say that again. Jesus' life isn't just an ideal to appreciate, it's a lifestyle to replicate. The Gospels of Jesus are not for another era. They are for here and now, and they are for application. But for an apprentice doesn't just jump in and have everything figured out. There's a progression, right? Even the lifestyle of an apprentice is not magic beans. It's not like we have everything figured out. It's not like it's easy. We stay with our teacher, and we learn. And that's not just in church, right? You follow him in your daily life through disciplines of community and scripture and prayer and solitude, etc. You be with him as much as you can so you can become like him, and then you can do stuff as he did. Because you have to know, you become like who you are around and your environment. So set Jesus in the middle of that and watch and allow the Holy Spirit to change you. Think of the disciples. They sat at Jesus' feet and learned from him and watched, and they asked questions. Sometimes when we look back, we're like, those are really dumb questions. But, you know, they asked questions, and then Jesus answered them, and he helped them, and he showed them, and then he sent them out, right? But we can't apprentice well half in. We'll just be like Greg the Karate Guy in our faith. There's a book that I highly recommend. It's called Practicing the Way by John Mark Comer, and this is its subtitle, is Be with Jesus, Become Like Him, Do As He Did. Be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. And he says this, there are no accidental saints. You can't just slip your hand up at the end of a sermon. It's a high bar of entry. It will require you to reorder your entire life around following Jesus as your undisputed top priority. Over your job, over your money, your reputation, over everything. Yet, all these things will find their rightful place once integrated into a life of apprenticeship. And I get it. Maybe you're new to this. Maybe you just need to start the journey by deciding to follow him actually, reordering your life and prioritizing him. Maybe many of us have been here a long time and need to get out of the thorns that Jesus talks about in the book of Matthew, right? Where he's talking about the scattering seed as a parable. And he talks about thorns, which refer to someone who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save it. And what will you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? But let me tell you some cool stuff about being an apprentice. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to come in here today and be like, I have to be perfect. And like, no, you don't, right? You're students. We're all students. And like the teacher has not left the building. He's walking with you, right? But there is something with our perseverance. Like, there's something about our perseverance being matched with God's grace, you know? We try, we push through, and we engage, and God's grace will help us when we fail, because we will fail. And where we're the weakest. 1 Corinthians 12 says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. I'm going to read that again, because I think some of us need to hear that today. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. We won't do this perfectly, but guess what? Neither do apprentices. We watch, we learn, we do, we mess up, and we try again, right? But you do need to be a lifelong learner. Don't just sign up to be an apprentice and put in limited time. Don't just watch DIY videos, right? You know, don't just watch online church stuff or listen to a podcast and think you have it all down. An apprenticeship is actually very relational, you know? It's walking alongside your teacher. But to do this well, maybe this is one of the bigger keys to it is humility. having humility. In Philippians 2, it says you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God and did not think equality with God is something to cling on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges and he took a humble position as a slave and born as a human being when he appeared in human form. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. This is the overall posture of an apprentice, is humility. We cannot think we have it all figured out because we don't. Even if we are like the most mature Christian, right? We cannot become full of ourselves in our faith. But we continue to press in and to learn and to grow and to try with effort, right? Not that we force the change, but the Holy Spirit is the only one who can change us. But that doesn't discount discipline and effort required in our resolve for God in our lives. Going back to that humility, Matthew 5, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. And James 4, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So lean into that. This is the gift. We are our apprentices. We're different people, right? We're different people. We're all like differently messed up with our different backgrounds, with our different hurts, our different personalities, our different life challenges. And we're all welcome to apprentice under the grace of God. Lean into Jesus. Be with Jesus. Become like him. Do as he did. This whole thing is livable and supposed to be livable. Eugene Peterson has this quote that says, "The Bible, all of it, is livable. It is a text for living our lives. It reveals a God-created, God-ordered, God-blessed world in which we find ourselves at home and whole." We just need the posture of an apprentice. You know, being a follower, being teachable, being humble, questioning, okay being wrong, into what he's into and against what he's against. And the apprentice puts in time and puts in work and tries and fails and then learns and doesn't give up and still honors the teacher and pursues him. So I'm going to finish with just a couple take-it-home items today. The first is, take an inventory of your life, especially how you use your time, your money, and your energy, and where your thoughts go, and ask yourself honestly, how is my apprenticeship going? The second is to be with Jesus. Sunday is not enough to apprentice. Find community outside of Sundays too. Hang out with friends who can encourage each other. We have a women's Bible study. We have a men's Bible study. Find something, right? Be in scripture yourself. Don't just be listening to sermons and podcasts, but have a rich prayer life too. Next is, where are you getting fed? Does it represent Jesus well? Think through that. Reorder your life to allow yourself to be like him. Learn humility in all areas of your life. And finally, do things like Jesus would. So anyone could be an apprentice to Jesus. That's the thing. The bar is not high to start the journey to being a Christian. He says over and over and over again in the Gospels to simply follow me, which is more than just defining yourself as a Christian. This is not social media where you click the follow button and just, you know, add it to your life. It's a reordering of your life that the Holy Spirit will help you do. You do not have to do this alone. Whether you have defined yourself as a Christian for your entire life or you've never done it, the apprenticeship is an open invitation, but some of us may need to re-enter into an actual relational apprenticeship. Maybe even yet again. The thing is, we don't want to just know this stuff in theory. I welcome you to start that today, even as you go out today. So I'm going to finish there, and I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you're not distant, God. You're someone who wants to continually be in relationship with us. God, that you see us in all of our faults and you just say, come and follow me. And God, help us to choose that, but like not just in theory choose that, God, but actually, you know, in our daily walk, choose that over and over and over again to apprenticeship under you, God, to love the things that you love. So Father, help us do that well. And remind us this week to continue to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.